The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that silently spreads. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, here with you live from the studios of Broadcasting, Republic Broadcasting Network, I should say, on this 15th day of November 2017. And I appreciate my show being covered for an hour yesterday. I have the flu, but I figure even though I might have gastric disturbances right now and I might ask my guest to monologue for a few minutes if I have an emergency, I figured it was only fair because he's in Germany. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning there. So if he can make the time, I can certainly give it my best college try here. As promised, I've got Harley Schlanger with us. Hello, Harley. How are you?
I'm good. I hope you're feeling better.
I'm feeling like 30 miles of bad Texas road. But I, like I said, this is worth putting up with the flu just to come in and do this with you. You've been quite the pontificator lately. You've been coming out with some good deep state stuff, some of which I want to get into this afternoon. And I just want to tell people, in case you're not familiar with Harley Schlanger, first of all, he's living right outside of Berlin. And back in the early 70s, Harley, I used to fly over the Berlin Wall on missions, believe it or not. And now that the wall is down, supposedly communism is dead, we now have the communists that used to be over on the East German side that's now the Chancellor of Germany. Is that about right?
Well, I would hesitate to call her a communist, although she's certainly destroying Germany more effectively than the communists ever did.
And how long have you been over in Germany?
Well, I've been living here now for about 14 months. In fact, I live in Potsdam, which is in the former DDR, the East German Republic, and it's been quite an experience.
That is a statement right there.
You know, John, in our apartment, before it was turned into apartments, it was the repository of the Stasi documents, that is the East German secret police.
Right.
Their documents were stored in my living room where I'm speaking to you from.
Are you getting any ghosts from the past?
You never know.
Well, I don't know where to jump in here. I guess we can start current and then regress our way back here. One of the things that you've recently written about in this whole Russiagate thing. Now, I've told the listeners on this very program that the way that you get ahead of something that you see steamrolling and coming at you is politically you get out ahead of the game and you create your own narrative. Now, what we've seen recently here, now we've put up with the collusion with Russia and Vladimir Putin now, even before Donald Trump was even given the presidency or voted in for the president of the United States. We have seen a lot of disinformation coming out in the news media in this country, the good step and fetchings that they are for the powers that be, pick up the narrative and run with it. Now, what we're discovering is that maybe, just maybe, there might be indictments against Hillary Clinton by way of special prosecutor. Now, our Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has been on the hot seat of late. Not really a stellar presentation, I might say, but his recusals are having a lot of people scratching their heads. And we've got one of the biggest crime families, the Bush-Clinton duo here that occupied the White House for some, 16 years at least? Yep. And we know that Hillary is as crooked as the day is long. And I'm talking about summer solstice time, not winter eclipse time here. But what is the deal from your perspective where you're sitting at? What the hell is going on?
Well, I think you have to look at the situation from the higher standpoint before you get into the details. And the issue has never been Russia and Putin and meddling in the election. It's that Donald Trump ran a campaign based on the idea that the existing establishment in the United States in both parties is corrupt. It's controlled by special financial interests, Wall Street, City of London. It's been governing on behalf of those interests. And part of what those interests want is a permanent state of war, as we've had since 9/11. 2001. And what Trump promised during the campaign, and whether he can fully deliver it or not, we'll see. But what he promised during the campaign is an end to that regime. He tore apart the Bush Republicans in the primary, and then he tore apart Hillary Clinton. And what were the issues? Economic justice, taking care of the forgotten man and woman, or what we used to call the silent majority. Attacking the special interests that think they know better than everyone else and treat the American people like dirt. And that had a resonance within the population. The fact that Trump was moving to break this Bush-Obama-Clinton policy stronghold, the neocons, the unilateral group, the fact that he was moving against them caused them to scramble to come up with a way to stop him. And before anybody was talking about Russia, it was coming from British intelligence in the middle of 2015. They brought it to the attention of Hillary Clinton through this fusion GPS, and it's now all starting to spill out that the real collusion was Hillary Clinton with British intelligence interests who had some connection to Russian intelligence, and probably Russian intelligence that was anti-Putin, but that they were feeding the anti-Trump material to Hillary. So I hope that's clear, because I think it's important for people to see that the issue from the top is that Trump is trying to break the power of this deep state regime. Now, whether he's doing it effectively or not is another question. I think he's made too many compromises bringing people in from those networks themselves, whether it's Goldman Sachs or some of the holdovers from Obama and Bush, Dina Powell, for example, at the NSC. So in any case, what people have to realize is that what this deep state operation is trying to stop is the potential for collaboration between the United States with China and Russia on economic issues and on fighting terrorism. And I can tell you one thing that's never mentioned in the media is that one thing the Russians and the Chinese do want to do is fight terrorism, because they're facing their own threats from Al-Qaeda and Islamic fundamentalists. And that's one of the reasons that they were open to working with Trump.
Now, Harley, it has been my opinion that this fight against ISIS, And let's go back to Syria, that the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, he had to go because he was an absolute monster. He was the guy that was gassing his own people. Well, Russia was invited into that country, and all of a sudden what we discover is that the United States was not only backing ISIS, they were training them and doing everything else. in spite of the U.S. involvement, and we saw little snafus go on in there, that if people were paying attention, they would have noticed that something was really suspicious going on inside of Syria. But in spite of all that, with this Putin-Assad connection, he invited the Russians in. And I think they have one or two more cities to purge themselves of this supposed ISIS or these radical Muslims out of Syria. And then all of a sudden, what we're seeing now is the conjoining of Saudi Arabia and Israel, and they're trying to drag trying to drag the United States into a war in a limited capacity, maybe, but maybe a greater capacity with Iran.
John, this is you just touched on the most serious problem in the Middle East. It was Obama's policy to support radical jihadists. And he had a big helping from Hillary on that. All you have to do is look at the Libya situation. And what did Gaddafi and Assad have in common? Both of them were talking with others, including Iran, including other countries in the Middle East, about moving away from a dollar controlled by the Federal Reserve System, which was being turned into worthless paper. And as a result of that, the decision was made to overthrow Gaddafi. And who did we arm to do that? The Libyan Islamic Fighting Shield, which was the al-Qaeda affiliate in Libya. And after Gaddafi was killed and his country was torn apart, the arms that we gave them to fight Gaddafi were being shipped from Benghazi through Turkey to ISIS. And this is something that Michael Flynn, who at the time was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Flynn, was reporting. He was trying to blow this up. He said, look, is this a mistake? We're arming terrorists. And this is why Obama fired him. And this is one of the reasons the deep state targeted him so heavily, because he was exposing, as the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, U.S. institutions, and not so much the Army, but the CIA and certain private mercenary forces working with the CIA, providing arms to the people we were supposedly against. Now, your other point is Putin came in and showed that you could defeat these people if you wanted. And by backing up the Syrian army, because the Syrian army has on-the-ground intelligence, just as the Iraqi army does. And now we're seeing ISIS on the run. So what happens? The people who want war are now pulling the strings of Saudi Arabia and the Israelis to launch a new war targeting Lebanon, supposedly because of Hezbollah. But here's an interesting thing that Americans aren't being told. Hezbollah has helped stabilize Lebanon, and they're working with the president of Lebanon, Michael Aoun, who's a Christian. So you have these, what you might call diverse forces that are working together, that are being targeted by radical Sunni Muslims, funded by Saudi Arabia and supported by the CIA, John Brennan, when he was Obama's CIA chief. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the background. And when Trump came in and said, look, it'd be a good thing if we could work with Russia against terrorism. And the fact is that on the ground, U.S. military and Russian military are coordinating out of Amman, Jordan, at a very effective level. And that's not just deconfliction or safe zones, but it's targeting the enemy.
Well, and you were talking about Michael Flynn, I completely agree with your assessment here on Donald Trump. Trump was a neophyte. As a matter of fact, he was a New York Democrat. Okay, but yeah. He did not like the direction this country is going. And it was as plain as the nose on anybody's faces. It's been living the life of, God, I can't make the next month's bill in this country, that he saw the fundamental problems and the reasons why. You know, they never talk that extensively about the outrush here of American corporations. Donald Trump saw this and said, look, you know, we're going to offer the proverbial carrot on the stick. We're going to reduce your taxes from 35% tax bracket down to 20% online with most of the rest of the civilized manufacturing world. Now, that's kind of correct, except to say that they would hire teams of lawyers to find loopholes in the tax codes to reduce their tax burden. But here it is, 20% tax, come on back to the country, operate for the benefit of this country, because after all, you're overseas someplace, employing what, and shipping your goods back into the country, come back to the United States.
And John, the first thing Trump did was to pull out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And this was one of these free trade agreements like NAFTA, which puts the power in the hands of global corporations and their boards and their courts, as opposed to sovereign U.S. law. And so I think one of the things Trump recognized is that the free trade agreements were destroying manufacturing. We've lost something like 6 million manufacturing jobs since 2001.
And hundreds in the United States. Hundreds of manufacturers.
Yeah. And these were jobs that paid well. If in fact you believe the story that the U.S. is a consumer-driven economy, how does it work if you destroy the decent-paying middle class or the well-paid middle class? They can't purchase things. So what was done under Bush and then Obama was a series of bubbles. And actually under Bush, the bubble actually goes back to Clinton. You remember the dot-com bubble and Greenspan feeding that with cheap credit. Then with Bush, they repealed Glass-Steagall in 1999, which opened the door for commercial banks to use their depositors' money to buy worthless financial instruments, mortgage-backed securities, derivatives, and so on. This blew up in 2008, and you remember what happened. Bush and Paulson got together with Obama and McCain, the two candidates, and told them, we're going to do a bailout. The Federal Reserve is going to give low interest or free money to the banks on top of the government money, the TARP funds, you know, the $800 billion was a drop in the bucket. It's something like $23 trillion that was provided to the too big to fail banks.
Excuse me, Harley, can I it must be the flu that I have. Could you please repeat that?
Yeah, we had so many different projects set up to provide liquidity to companies like AIG, Goldman Sachs, the people who took over Merrill Lynch at Bank of America, and so on. They were sitting on huge piles of uncollectible debt. And instead of writing that down, which should have happened, these banks should have been put through bankruptcy reorganization in 2008, and some of their leaders should have been thrown in prison. There should have been no bailout, no bail-in, and no bail for the bankers. Instead, what they did is they said, we're going to let you keep the Ponzi scheme going. And in fact, we'll give you free money from the U.S. Federal Reserve to allow you to have the liquidity to keep the face value of these worthless instruments on your books. Since 2008, the largest banks in the United States have increased their so-called asset base by 40%. That is, they've grown by 40%. But the physical economy of the United States continues to shrink. So how do you back that up? Funny money. And, you know, it's funny. During the campaign, Trump talked about the Chinese illegally doing currency manipulation. The fact of the matter is the Federal Reserve is the biggest currency manipulator on the planet.
Harley, I have said this on air, and correct me if I'm wrong. This mortgage-backed security, the MBS, and the shenanigans, and you are exactly right about Glass-Steagall. That was a monumental mistake, letting the commercial banks in there to speculate and just make a little bit more money.
And to dive right in with the hedge funds, the shadow banking, the offshore unregulated money markets, it all became one big pool.
And I have called this the biggest ripoff ever witnessed by humankind in human history. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, sure. And the other side of it, and this is something that people don't understand because the so-called financial media is a bunch of damn liars who are working for the speculators. There's a difference, a very fundamental difference, between liquidity and solvency.
Hold that thought right there. We'll pick up with liquidity versus in today's news, I was hearing them talking about inflation, and I'm thinking to myself, why don't you just call it what it is? The devaluation, the further devaluation of your currency. Harley Schlanger is my guest today. We'll take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
We are back talking with Harley Schlanger, and it's about almost 1:30 in the morning in Germany right now. You know, in this country, Harley, people don't understand liquidity. They don't even know that water's wet. So expand on that thought before we were interrupted by commercial break.
Yeah, you see, the point in banking in the past in America was that you have agencies that take in deposits as a basis for then lending money, creating credit through commercial banks that would go into physical production, into projects to improve a community or a city, money for small business, credit for innovators, and so on.
There was a return on the investment.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but the whole basis of credit was that you were producing something that would not only help the person who's borrowing the money, but it would create jobs and it would generate income through the whole community. This goes back to the original idea of the founding fathers and what Hamilton did with a national credit policy to get us out of the debt from the American Revolution. Now, what happened when you started allowing commercial banks to engage in speculation is they created bubbles. That's why we had a stock crash in 1929, and that's why Glass-Steagall was implemented in 1933.
Which actually, surprisingly enough, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had a hand in doing. Shock of all shocks.
Well, he pushed it through because he knew that at that point it was a question of would the private bankers loot the country to the bone, or would the government step in and protect the small businesses and the community banks? Now, just to jump ahead telescope to the present, in 2008, we had an opportunity to restore Glass-Steagall, which would have meant letting the investment banks eat their own losses. The trillions of dollars of speculative money and derivatives and swaps and options, the mortgage-backed security markets, let it be marked down to the actual market value as opposed to the face value, which would have wiped out probably 90% of the debt on the books of these banks. Instead, they kept it. But in order to make money, they had to keep trading it. So the Federal Reserve gave them money. This is the liquidity. So that if someone would challenge a derivative, you could always say, well, I have money at the Federal Reserve to back it up. Now, the difference between that and solvency is solvency means that your debts have something real behind them. If you loan money to a small business, presumably that small business is selling something or producing something.
Or in another way of putting it, if somebody borrows money for a mortgage and you default on the mortgage, guess what you got left? You got the house.
You have a house. But look, in our economy today, what is there behind the hundreds of billions of dollars behind Amazon and Snapchat and Facebook? There's nothing of value. Nothing. And the whole economy has been turned into what one of my friends calls a Ponzi economy. And to keep it going, they have to keep the 0% interest rates to the banks. Now, the Fed is playing a game that, well, now we have to shift because our standard economic practices tell us you can't keep interest rates at 0%. But they're finding if they start raising interest rates, you're going to trigger waves of bankruptcy through the economy.
Now, let me stop you right here, Harley, because I have a question. This has always bothered me. Now, and magically, the trillions of dollars that you had mentioned just about covers the they keep quoting that we're some $20 trillion in debt. You know, that's the current debt. Well, no, it's a lot more than that. But what we're describing here is what the Federal Reserve actually wrote the proverbial checks to bail out these banks and foreign corporations and everybody else. Whereas you're exactly right, they should have failed. And we could have at least constructed something of an economy since 2008, picked up the pieces and moved on. What I found really remarkable about this is why these banks are recovering their quote-unquote losses, that there was no money made available to the middle class out here for loans. While the banks were busy giving other banks zero interest money, here we are out here in a stagnating and falling economy. And they did the same damn thing that they did in 1929. The banks tightened the credit market out there almost to a stranglehold.
It's even worse than that. What happened was that are we going to a break?
Let's take care of this break. I've got Harley Schlanger.
We have to go to Dodd-Frank.
Yeah, hold on one second. We've got to go to break. Harley Schlanger is with us. We'll return in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. NASSecret.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Harley, that song was written for me. And the power of talk radio. Unfortunately, there is not much talk radio out there that is straight, that is on target, and it's trying to help the population at large try to understand what is going on in this chaotic, and I might say they want it engineered and chaotic the way it is. So around what's going on in the world today in their own backyards, they keep straining their brains, and the harder they try to understand it, the more confused that they get.
Well, we're trying to unconfuse them.
Yes, we are. And that's what I've been doing for almost 25 years behind a microphone. And we're talking financial here and talking banks. It didn't take me long early on in my radio career to understand what one of the major problems was in this country, and that is the middlemen. Oh, we call them banks. But the interest people that, they're there to skim the milk, so to speak, to take the cream off of the top, and they leave us with the rest of it. And people just do not understand a sound money system. It is more than necessary in an economy such as we have. This is supposed to be free market. We're supposed to have fair trade, not this free trade stuff. And people can't get their minds wrapped around it, because if the medias in this country talk financials to people, they talk them into circles, and it's very limited. Your understanding of what's really going on when you walk away from it, you've got nothing.
Well, the economic profession is dominated by models now that show how to make money if everything is given to you. That is, you get cheap credit, you get companies that don't cost much and generate profits on paper. But I want to go back to what we were talking about on liquidity and solvency, because it gets right to the heart of the matter. The smaller banks in this country provide most of the money that goes into construction, small and medium enterprises, mom-and-pop shops, and so on. But under Dodd-Frank, there was an effort to steal their solvent assets and turn them over to the insolvent big banks. And the way they did that was they put in a regulatory regime that you need teams of lawyers and accountants to adhere to. And, of course, the big banks can do that, but the smaller banks can't. And so what we're seeing is an effort to take the assets from the small and largely solvent regional and community banks and turn that liquidity over to the big banks. Now, in Europe, the European Central Bank just passed a policy for so-called bail-in, because they say we don't want governments to bail out the banks anymore. But they'll continue to bail out the big banks. One of the ways they're doing it is as smaller banks crash, they're taking the good assets from the smaller banks and giving them for a nickel on the dollar to the big banks, and then the state is taking on the debt of the smaller banks. So in the U.S., we're seeing the same thing underway. And that's why Dodd-Frank was put in, to save the big banks. This was not a banking reform or a re-regulation. It was a typical Obama swindle that benefited the 1% at the top of the income brackets. And Americans are smart enough to know that they're being cheated. They're smart enough to know that there was no Obama recovery, that the so-called millions of jobs were low-wage, temporary, and part-time. And Hillary Clinton didn't realize that people knew that. And so she ran a campaign where she was sidling up to Citibank and J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs, and she couldn't understand why people who were hurting didn't support her.
Well, and we're talking about the 2016 election, and by this time we had already been through 8 years of, it wasn't a recession. The recession actually started here in this country around 2006. We had the flim-flam of the century take place in 2008. And by this time, the American people have been suffering under this for almost 8 years. So the oblivious Hillary Clinton walks in, along with the help of the media in this country, thinks she has the election sewed up. And I think she wasn't that worried about her whistle-stop campaigns and the carefully cropping of the audience, the non-existent audience, or green screening to give the impression that her campaign was bigger.
Or, as they call it, the AstroTurf grassroots campaign.
Exactly. Whereas here it was in full scream with Trump showing up and him baiting, mind you, the news media to pan the audiences, the existing cheering and clapping audiences. I mean, this, you know, I understood fake news. I knew that when I was a kid. I started to discover that when I was in the sixth grade. So here was Trump calling out the phony media for what it is, the lying media, the false or fake news, and they just didn't get it. And the pundits and the talking heads, Harley, here in America on election night, back in November 4th of last year, it was a page that was torn out of their script, and the last page that read in that script, and they didn't know it, they were live on camera, was Hillary is not going to win, and how are you going to deal with this now? They were shocked.
It was actually delightful to look at the expressions on the faces of people at CNN. You know, I was in Europe by then, but I was in the U.S. during the early part of the campaign, and I was working with some people who, ironically, were in the Trump campaign and some who were in the Bernie Sanders campaign. And I just kept saying to them, look, you've got to get together, because the majority of the people want something done about Wall Street and also about war. And, you know, this is an important point. We've been at war since 2001, but we're not winning anything. We're wearing out our military. We're adding trillions of dollars to debt. And by the way, I wanted to say one thing about the debt. The $20 trillion federal debt, the government debt so-called, is one component. There's another $13 trillion now in household debt, which is credit card debt, auto loans debt, student loans. There's another almost $15 trillion in corporate, non-financial corporate debt. And then you have the 10 or 11 largest banks in this country holding somewhere in the range of $500 trillion of derivative obligations on their books. Now, their view is that these will never come due and they can keep rolling them over and keep buying and selling them and making money. But if a derivative goes bad, as it did in 1998 with the Russian debt, which nearly crashed the economy on the long-term capital management, if a couple of these derivatives go bad, the whole system blows. And there was a report just done in London that said we're one bad trade away from the biggest crash in world history. And I think that's an accurate assessment.
It has to be because, I mean, even coming out of the Trump White House, it's the fairy tale, I guess, along the lines of, yeah, our gold is stored in Fort Knox. Our unemployment rate is at 4%. Look, I got some news here. The unemployment has actually increased in this country, and I think we're up to about 94, 95 million people that are not in the workforce right now.
Could be in the workforce.
Could be, well, at least partially. There's not going to be a quick fix to any of this stuff. This is going to take a while to crank up, but under present policy, this is never going to happen.
Well, that's why the policy has to change, and that's why Trump was a threat to the system. Whether he followed through on things or not, he brought things up. He supported Glass-Steagall during the campaign. He's talking about infrastructure construction. And he got suckered in initially to the idea of a public-private partnership, which basically means the same special interests buy up existing roads and put toll booths in, as opposed to innovative, technologically advanced infrastructure. But I think what he saw in China is a bit of a success story, which is that the Chinese have been squeezing the speculation out of their economy and putting money into building things. And they're creating jobs, and they're building a middle class. Mm. Now, I'm not defending the Chinese model. I'm saying they're doing some things that were based on the economic system that we used to have.
But they also, Harley, created their own real estate and building bubble over there. Yeah, they put people to work all right, but they built literally cities that are uninhabited right now, and the pigeons and the rats have taken over.
Well, actually, what they're connecting them with rail and their project is ultimately to make those cities function the same way we made Omaha and Denver and cities like that.
So they built the cities before they put the railroad in. Okay, I got you.
Well, they're building the railroads now, and actually, they talked to President Trump about having American companies work on some of these projects. So there's a possibility for there to be jobs for the U.S. And in fact, the Chinese were also talking about taking some of their treasury bonds and some of their dollars that they're getting from these trade deals that we made that were bad and investing them in American infrastructure. So there's a potential out there for a change in the system. But that's why they have Russiagate, because they don't want to give Trump an opportunity to move out of this old paradigm. And well, I think this is something that people should know, that there is a new potential paradigm of cooperation and development, including what could be done in the United States.
Well, and I'm looking at this, and Trump prides himself as being a deal maker. And, you know, I started to say, you know, he was kind of a New York Democrat, saw what was wrong with the country, thought, and his ego and his business dealings told him that, look, I can't do any worse than Obama did. I can't do any worse than Bush did or Clinton did. So here we go. I'm going to run for president. I mean, I watched this guy by his forthrightness and honesty. And then I think to a certain degree, a lot of people took his crudeness as being a form of honesty, that he slashed his way through how many other people that wanted this POTUS seat in Washington, D.C.? My God,
Look what he did to Jeb Bush.
Oh, God.
You know, the funniest line was in the South Carolina debate where he was saying, oh, you're not doing very well. You had to bring your mommy down here to campaign for you. And Jeb said, my mother's the strongest woman I know. And Trump said, well, maybe she should be running for president instead of you.
And nobody ever looked on the little Bushy brother as being anything other than just that, a little Bushy. And nobody was really interested. Trump thought that, okay, I'm going to bring the people in that know the system the best. And I'm going to be able to discern and extract the information I need to make this a strong White House, to make this a strong cabinet, and to accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish. What? How'd that train get derailed?
Well, I think because he brought in some of the wrong people. He brought in Goldman Sachs people on the economy. He kept people like Dina Powell, a Bush operative, neocon. He's got neoliberals and neocons still in key offices. And then, of course, the Justice Department is staffed with old Obama people. And look, Barack Obama is still very active. And he's got Soros money backing him. There is a regime change coup underway in the United States. And this is something I've been writing about extensively. And I'd like to make an offer to your listeners. I'm starting a blog, and I have some of these articles available. And if I can give out my email address, if people write to me and ask to receive something, I'll send it to you and let you know where to get my blog regularly. It's free. It's not a charge for it. They can write to harleysch@gmail.com. And I will be happy to send them some of these articles I've written exposing how this deep state operation is functioning on behalf of these financial interests. So it's harleysch@gmail.com.
You know, I watched Michael Flynn, and I was not aware of what you said about Flynn earlier, that he recognized. You know, and I reported on this, gosh, when this whole Benghazi thing went down. I said, folks, they were moving the hardware to the terrorists. That's what happened here. And
that's what the Defense Intelligence Agency reported. They did a report that said precisely that. And shortly after that, Obama fired Flynn.
And that was one of the first guys that was moved out of the White House. We've got generals that have put on a new uniform. They're called suits. Steve Bannon, and I want you to check me on this one, because my take on Steve Bannon with handling the Trump campaign, he was listening to the people that were actually there. He was in Donald Trump's ear, and he was telling them, this is what these people are looking for. This is what is needed. And he did exactly that. Well, when Steve Bannon rode on into the White House in the coattails of Donald Trump, he was labeled as being a troublemaker. You've got to get rid of that guy. And that was the connection to Donald Trump and the people that voted for him. They slid his little keister right out the back door.
Well, and I think there you have to look at people like the son-in-law Kushner and
characters. Do I have to?
Unfortunately, you do, because these are the people who are messing with Trump on the Middle East. I mean, the whole Middle East situation with the Saudis and the Israelis in a military alliance to target Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. And the real target here is Russia and China. And I think what's important is that they're moving on this because, number one, the terrorists were defeated in Syria. And number two, Europe is in a total mess. And we're starting to see some signs of what you might call the Trump revolution in Italy, in Spain, in France, and even in Germany.
They're discussing the narrative in today's news cycle, Harley, was that, and this is coming out of politicians' mouths in Washington, D.C., worrying that Donald Trump is so unstable of an individual, can we really trust this guy to have his finger on the nuclear button? This is how desperate this has become.
Yeah, this was the hearing that took place today, and it's being pushed by Democrats and Republicans. McCain, Lindsey Graham, people like that are saying the same thing, that Trump has to be removed. And one of the things in the background is, if you can't get him with impeachment, maybe you can do it with the 25th Amendment, that he's not capable physically or mentally or emotionally of doing the job. And that's the kind of treachery you get from these guys. Now, interestingly, they're talking about Trump being unstable. How many wars have we had in the last 16 years by presidents that were not cleared through the Congress, which is the constitutional
We can go back to the Korean War, which was a conflict and never declared war. That was UN operation. We can go to Vietnam that we got involved with. And then what did LBJ say when John F. Kennedy got whacked? I'm going to give you your damn war. And he did.
Yeah.
And most people miss this, Harley, that this whole thing in the Middle East, this is pretty much a UN cookie-cutter operation where you have coalition forces. That's what this whole thing is about.
Well, UN and one other thing, and this is something also that Americans shouldn't recognize but don't, the role of the British. You know, Britain is no longer the military power and the sea power in the world, but they've studied and run intelligence operations for 200 years, and they've never accepted our republic. The American Republic. And one of the things they've done, the British have been in the Middle East since the 1870s, 1880s. They set up Israel. They set up Saudi Arabia.
We got to take this break. We're talking with Harley Schlanger. Now you can see, folks, why I'm in here. I've got the flu, but I had to be in studio today to talk to this guy. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV. Been looking all around me and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Well, my wife returns from taking my little girl to school. She got beads of perspiration
as she tries to keep her cool. She says that mess, it don't get no better. There's gonna come a day, someone's gonna get killed out there. And I turn to her and say, Texas.
Oh yeah, Texas. We got one of the fastest growing economies. I am choked off here, Harley, in Central Texas. We got people that are leaving the other states and are all coming down here with their cars. And on a Friday afternoon, we've got an 18-mile backup on IH-35 here. It's,
whoa.
Yeah, it's, yeah. It
starting to sound like Houston.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to bring up South Dakota. South Dakota, their economy has done pretty well over the last 8-9 years, and they had this funny idea about keeping the money circulating within their own state with a state bank.
North Dakota.
I'm sorry,
North
I misspoke.
Dakota,
yeah, North Dakota. And people, that's the question I asked the governor back in 2009, Perry. I'd ask him at a business meeting if they had considered a Texas state bank. And I was quickly done away with the lieutenant governor making jokes about it and then moving on. There was one woman out of 200 men that were at this meeting that come up to me during a break following that and said, I understand exactly what you just said. Well, who was she? She was one of the first mortgage companies that went down the tubes when this whole damn thing blew up. So she was standing there shaking my hand telling me, I understood exactly what you just said. Nobody else in that room did.
Well, John, you know, I think the state banking has a certain attractiveness to it, but I think we need a national banking under the Treasury and the Congress and no Federal Reserve. I think if we did that, we could pull the country together and have credit for building things as opposed to credit for speculation. And if you took away the money power of these financial interests, then the neocon think tanks, the war lovers, would lose their base. And this is the potential that we have, and it's a potential we have to realize, because if the United States goes under, and we're heading in that direction, if we go under, there's not much hope in the world.
No, we're already there. And all somebody has to do is plug the straw that we've got poking out of the pond here. That's our lifeline that we're breathing with. All they have to do is stuff a weed down it, and we're dead.
Well, I'm optimistic that people are starting to wake up, and they're realizing they're being fed fake news. And, you know, again, if people want to get what I'm writing and what I'm doing, just send me an email to harleysch@gmail.com. And that's another way that people can stay in touch with the global fight, because it's not just the United States. Remember, Brexit happened before Trump. And this is a rejection of elites going on worldwide.
I know it's 2:00 in the morning there. We're going to top the hour break. Do you have some coffee that you can grab? Can you spend a little bit more time with us? Because there's
I can spend another 15 minutes, I
okay,
think.
Okay, great.
But I have some work to do tomorrow.
I understand. And I appreciate you making the time available. Because when I learned the time difference, I thought, uh-oh. But you were gracious enough to come on the program. Let's take top of the hour break. We'll have you for about another 15 minutes into the next hour. We're talking with Harley Schlanger here, and we'll let him get his email out that you can email him directly to get the news stories that nobody seems to be carrying. And Harley, I want to tell you that any stories that you're writing, we'd be happy to post those on our website.
Okay.
All righty. Let's take the top of the hour break. We'll be right back. Second hour of the National Intel Report coming up. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.